God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, he didn't hum. He said, let there be light. He spoke. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There is a load of things to talk about. There is one thing that is not going to get enough attention, and it is something a country cannot sustain for long. And it is the difference in treatment jurisprudentially from the so-called Department of Justice. The January 6th arrests and indictments, in comparison to other crimes, similar nature, presents a, well, I would say disturbing, but in fact, it presents a catastrophic view for a republic. You will recall in 2018, thousands of leftists got into the Capitol and tried to stop Brett Kavanaugh's vote to become a member of the Supreme Court, screaming and becoming unmanageable, and they said, be ungovernable. Now, of course, now some of them were charged and arrested and charged with misdemeanors for disorderly conduct. And the fines sometimes went all the way up to $35. In the case of January 6th, we're seeing a series of sentences for non-violent offenses. In fact, some men, two men, have been sentenced to above 15 years in prison, even though the Capitol Police said they were trying to help us. They, in fact, may have saved our lives. Now, another sentencing, Enrique Tarrio. 22 years in prison. He was one of the leaders of the Proud Boys. And he is to be compared with R. Kelly. A guy named Brandon Straka started a movement called Walk Away. He's a same-sex attracted man. Good guy. In fact, I was his first ever radio interview. My wife recommended him to me. Brandon Straka writes, a man who wasn't even at the Capitol just received 22 years in federal prison. That's two more years than R. Kelly received for six federal felony counts of raping three children and videotaping it. Charlie Kirk is about as mainstream a Republican as one can get. I think probably the Republican Party in D.C. would disagree. They find him very radical. But Charlie Kirk also, by the way, truly, truly a godly man. Spends a lot of his time trying to help churches. In fact, I was invited to one of his events, and he's quite sincere about that. Charlie Kirk writes, the Biden regime just sentenced Enrique Tarrio for 22 years in prison for a riot he was not present at, for plotting to overthrow the government without his followers carrying a single firearm. You live in a country with political prisoners. We're going to spend some time on this tomorrow and dig into some of the, clown shows that have gone on in the courts. Such as the judge suggesting that because Enrique Tarrio referenced George Washington in kind of a snide comment about a guy who broke a window, that should add to his sentence and with the terrorism enhancement. He wasn't there. There's magic words that people employ, and particularly in a propaganda-driven society, a lie-driven society. A lie-driven society that reminds me a lot of 2 Kings. We were in that this morning at my discipleship group. People who have forgotten how to act in godly ways. And a society that has not just forgotten, but has taken the word of God and tried to hide it away. The magic words in our society have magic effect. It stops people in their tracks. We have dogs. And we have one dog. Our little dog died last year, but they wear a neck collar, and it's to protect them. We live in the wilderness, not in the wilderness, but right on the edge of it. And if they went chasing after a deer or after a coyote or after a wolf, they'd end up dead. So we have this collar on them. And the watchword is watch out if they're nearing where the collar will go off. Well, that works all the time now, whether they're wearing the collar or not. It's a magic word for dogs. Magic words in society are being employed more and more often. One of those magic words is the word trans, transgender. It's a made-up term, and it's meant to sound scientific, as if there's some sort of organic way that one is actually transgender, as if it's something that happens in the body, in the brain. It is in the brain, but it is a mental condition. And yet, look at what it does. A hospital employee has leaked a DEI training material that says three-year-olds can be confused about their gender. And by that, they mean their sex. Gender is a made-up construct. People thinking this, that can only happen with made-up magic words like transgender, as repeated by apparently godless people like a Dr. McNamara, a pediatrics professor at Yale.
Response.
My response is that kids know their genders, unequivocally. Cisgender kids know their genders, and transgender kids know their genders, and there shouldn't be really a difference between them. Think about how sure you felt of your gender from some of your earliest childhood memories. It's no different. The confusion comes from external factors in our society that impose cisgender normativity on young people.
What do you say to parents who say, he'll figure it out, she'll figure it out, this is just a phase? What do you say?
That young people do know who they are. And we say, you know, one thing that I like to say is, like, what does it cost you to just affirm who they say they are?
It costs you everything. It costs you absolutely everything. Parental authority, moral authority. You are lying about and to God. It costs you perhaps eternity, the eternity of your child, but it is so easily measurable. Magic words, here's a fun game. Replace them with another word. Replace the word transgender with height. So you're at the carnival or at the fair, and a kid walks up and he's 2 feet too short for the ride, but he says, no, I'm not. No, I'm 6 feet tall. And you as the parent say, well, yes, you are. Yes, you are 6 feet tall. Replace it with age. You're not old enough to drink alcohol. Well, yes, I am. I'm not 9, I'm 21. Well, yes, you are. What does it cost to affirm a lie? It costs the existence of truth. That's what it costs. And it can cost a relationship with God. They use these words so often that sometimes we just forget they become magic. For instance, the word vaccine. I was first confronted with the harms that vaccines can do by my wife. And I'll tell you, it was a huge issue in our marriage. Huge. Now, we did not vaccinate our child with the big array of things, and it bothered me for a long, long time. My wife was right. The more I study this stuff and get confronted by parents whose kids have been harmed long prior to the COVID injections, or I look at the data, for instance, the fact that Amish people don't get autism. It doesn't happen. They also don't vaccinate their children. But on the topic of these injections as used with COVID, everybody understood from the moment these shots were created that they weren't actually vaccines. And magic words make people suspend all natural skepticism, like the word vaccine, which Whoopi Goldberg's absence from the show The View shows to be a lie.
As you can see, Whoopi is not here. She has COVID. Yes, it's back. It's back.
It's back.
But she's on the mend. She's on the tail end, and she'll probably be back this week. But sorry, she's not here. For those of you who are looking forward to seeing.
Oh, incidentally, that Whoopi wasn't there is significant given the number of times that she's been injected, but also this, and this is one of the reasons we talk about magic words. Vaccines, as you know, actually mean that they grant you immunity from the disease. And we've talked about the fact that Fauci and others changed the definition of that. But wait a minute. They're simply describing areas of the body. Immunity, we gain that naturally very often. They're simply describing an event that God has created in our bodies, an ability he's created. And look at that, they've changed the definition again. It's almost like they can't stand God's creation. It's almost exactly like they want to lie their way out of what is evident in God's design and with our own eyes, simply watching and looking at society. You go back to the word insurrection, that would be the first unarmed insurrection that's happened in our country, all the way up to the words vaccine and trans. Oh, I said autism? I did, right? I may have forgotten. There's a new study. The spike protein that is produced by your body once it's hijacked by the COVID injections, and often the body never stops producing these, has been linked to the creation of Alzheimer's, or rather the acceleration of Alzheimer's in people's body with a very, very specific mechanism. That's not really a vaccine at all, and that it doesn't stop disease, but it sure does a lot of other things. Another magic word that is powerful that we're going to spend some time with tomorrow is the word hate. The word hate, well, of course, that exists. It's an emotion. It's an ungodly emotion, and it exists. We'll spend some time on this tomorrow as to how it's being used to manipulate parents and voters in the separate countries of Washington and California and Oregon. This has been done forever. I mean, this hate, you know, it's everybody's a racist, et cetera, a form of hate. But they're using it in a very unique way in regard to parents as they do everything they can to literally in the law, reflect their fact, theirs, that families are dangerous things. So we'll spend some time on that tomorrow. You saw this very sad, unbelievably sad, inarguably tragic story of a young woman named Takiyah Young. And the way it's reported, of course, in the media, it's reported as an act of hatred by the police officer who was forced to take action. Horrifying footage. Ohio cops released body cam of officer shooting dead pregnant driver, 21, after she refused to leave her car. Yeah, there was this also. It wasn't that she was just refusing to leave her car. It's that she apparently stepped on the gas and may have risked running over the officer. That's not refusing to step out of the car. There's also the word expert. And when the Mockingbird media employs the word expert, mentally replace it with the word spokesperson and things will make more sense. They'll make a lot more sense if you do this, particularly as it's related to COVID or climate change, any of these pseudoscientific scenarios. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently asked why the COVID response was slaughtering Black Americans, his words. See, the experts had said that Haitians, most of them Black, or according to at least the definition of race that society puts down, I loathe that, that Haitians were going to be slaughtered by COVID, whereas American Blacks would do a lot better. You know what didn't happen? That. Black Americans died at a higher rate, particularly after the injections came out. 10 times the rate of Blacks in Haiti. Why would that be the case? Well, the experts were baffled. Well, unless they actually told the truth. In America, many Black people have severe vitamin D deficiencies and suffer from severe obesity, driven by experts as to the food they should eat. One other magic word is love. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're going to do this today because I think it's important as we're talking about magic words to extend the thought a little bit. We talked in the last segment about the magic words that are employed by technocrats. People like Tony Fauci is a technocrat. Rachel Levin, the man who pretends to be a woman, who's second in charge of Health and Human Services, employs magic words. I mean, his name is a magic word. We're supposed to pretend he's a woman. Magic words like debt ceiling. There isn't one. It's a magic word. People walk into a room and we're going to debate the debt ceiling. It doesn't exist. So we're debating something that's not real. It's important that we replace these things with what they are, words that make more sense. In California, like in the separate country of Washington, like in the separate country of Oregon, the word hate and love are almost interchangeable the way they're used. In fact, you would be forgiven if you're to be confused as to who loves who and who hates who. This is particularly true in California, where they have launched a bizarre war against the family. Now, we've heard war against the family and war on Christmas, and war itself can be used as a magic word. So am I employing that as a magic word to draw your attention? Let's examine it. In California, there are attempts to criminalize teachers from telling parents that their kids at school are using a different name or a wrong pronoun, to criminalize that. There are descriptions being offered by the Attorney General of California of the family as a truly dangerous institution. I talked to a friend of mine who's on my podcast from time to time, whenever I can have him on. He's my favorite secular writer. Writes at Substack. His name is Chris Bray. And you get to hear some pieces of the conversation. You can hear the whole thing on my podcast, which you can get at thetoddhermanshow.com, or just subscribe to The Todd Herman Show on Apple iTunes or Spotify, wherever you like to get podcasts. Chris has a new book out. Fascinating read about the 1790s era, where the promise between the government and the people who staffed our militias, where that covenant began to break down. And it sounds a lot like today with broken promises. Chris, for some reason, lives in California. I joke with him about this, just as Rush Limbaugh, God rest him, used to make fun of me for continuing to live in Seattle when I hosted for Rush for all those years. So in California, this description of the family as a dangerous institution is something they're attempting to encode into law. Secrets. If you wonder who keeps secrets from kids, you don't have to think very, very long. And particularly if you think of parents or of adults who draw kids into a room and talk about sexual things with them and then say, you don't need to tell your parents, this is our little secret. There's a description for that. That's a groomer. The panic that the left has shown as people have become to realize that, wait a minute, teachers at these schools are grooming kids, shows so much about what they know about what they're doing. In California, there's a push as well to normalize adult-child sexual relationships. It's already happened legislatively. It's far, far easier for gay men to have sex with, I would say, rape kids. Far easier. And this is described as an anti-hatred law, because don't you know that in the gay community, they say, it's quite common for young boys to need an older man to show them the way. That is the actual mindset of men who abuse children sexually. Very often, that's their mindset. I interviewed a gentleman who is an expert in pedophiles, quite reluctantly. He's a therapist and a very skilled one. He worked in the prison system. And in an effort to try to keep people from reoffending, he took on clients who were pedophiles. And he told them things that they would never tell the police, even their lawyers, because they felt more confident in his confidentiality agreement. And he was truly trying to help them so that they would not reoffend and go harm kids. And some of the things they told him was, I really think I'm helping, because these kids need to be freed. They're under these false restraints. Another one is, you got to understand, a lot of these kids are old for their age. They're so wise. It's a lie from the very, very, very pit of Hades, but it's a lie they tell themselves. And there is this statement from Proverbs, and you probably remember it. Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. In California, the multiplication of kisses comes right off of what that pediatrician said in the last segment. What harm? How does it harm you to simply affirm a delusion a child has? We talked about the ways it harms, but now we're talking about physical harm. So in coding the family as a dangerous place in law and speaking about it in a dangerous place, they actually talk about the fact in their mind, the fact that only in schools can kids be who they really are. Despite all of this, and I want to lead with this, because what we're talking about could cause us to be depressed, and wouldn't the enemy love that? Despite all of this, there is hope. And I mentioned my friend Chris Bray comes on my podcast. So first in this clip here, Chris Bray also holds out hope for California, and with it, America.
Part of the reason I have hope for California is that even in deep blue California, I think our legislature this year has been more insane and more dangerous than it has ever been. I've never seen a legislature cause this much danger in a single year. And they've introduced a long series of bills targeting childhood, targeting families, targeting parents, doing things like giving refuge outside the home to parents who want to transition, to children who want to transition, whose parents won't let them. And there's been an enormous, even in the bluest parts of the state, an enormous rising up in defense of family. And it's working. Last year, we had a bill, SB 866, that would have allowed children in the state. People like our Senator Scott Wiener was very proud of this. He said, in California, your 12-year-old can already get STD treatment or an abortion or birth control without parental knowledge or consent. So let's take that a little farther and let children get vaccines without consent, including the COVID vaccine. And parents went so crazy with anger that we stopped that bill, even in California.
Wow.
And the legislature is still whining about it and saying that, you know, the people of the state were very uncivil and mean to them. But we are stopping the worst of the sewage, the cultural rot that's coursing through our legislature. And if we can do it in California, which is the most depraved and lost state in the country, then we can all do it everywhere. Yes, if there's hope for California, I'm not sure there's a lot, but there's some, then there's hope for all of us.
A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness that overcome it is the way we might put it. And important to understand, in whatever state you're in, and AFR, because of your donations, because of your financial support, because of that, we reach 182 radio stations, not to mention the podcasting platform, because of you. So whatever state you're in, do not wait to play defense. Do not. And a couple tips from someone who is a refugee from separate countries. Get right now behind the godly teachers in the government schools. Identify them, reach out to them, offer support for them, thank them, pray for them, let them know you're praying for them, express more support, more thanks, stay in touch. Ask any and all ways that how you can support them. Be present as Christians in the schools, volunteering in the schools, in the classrooms. Be seen. Bring light to this. At the same time, yes, notice the teachers who want to include ungodly approaches to children in these schools and reach out to them. You know what they're doing. You see what they're doing. You would appreciate it if they not did it in the schools. Let them know that you're not going to give them the ability to call you a dangerous radical, or don't talk to them alone. If you're forced to talk to them alone, video everything, document everything, because leftist groups will teach them how to take an interaction with you, and you're going to think that I am exaggerating, and I am not. They teach these groups, these teachers and teacher groups, how to make you a domestic terrorist. See, when Merrick Garland agreed to call parents domestic terrorists, that actually means something. There's many, many techniques they use. For instance, one of the reasons that they will ask you to leave a school board meeting is because if you don't, you're now trespassing. And trespassing is one way you get on the list of domestic terrorists. So know your rights, know your responsibilities, but please don't wait to play defense. It's time that we take God's word into these meetings. God's word never returns void. Words. So we talked about magic words in the first segment, the magic words and how the left uses these to program people's emotions and thoughts, because magic words are not thinking words. They, in fact, stall thinking. They appeal directly to emotions, love and hate being two very powerful ones. I mentioned that in California, it's difficult and you'd be forgiven for being confused about, wait, who loves who? Who hates who here? Chris Bray, his Substack's called Tell Me How It Ends. Chris Bray talked about magic words with me. We talked about magic words in the first segment. So listen here to Chris Bray describe how the sexual left uses magic words like love and hate.
I want to say one thing about language, though.
Yeah.
I want to circle back about this language and go back to what we were talking about in the first half of this discussion. And it's about misdirection, because I think it's really, really important to understand the way things are sold. Mm-hmm. The thing about notification policies and gender in schools is entirely being discussed in California. And I've been trying to derail this, and it hasn't been working, and I want to really go into that for a minute, is entirely being sold as a debate between bigots and kind people who love LGBT children. If you're for notification policies, you hate LGBT children. If you're against notification policies, then you love children. And there's a whole range, and this is really important, there's a whole range of premises that are baked into the discussion that aren't even being debated, because we sort of hang this rainbow flag in front of the discussion so they're veiled. The premise that parents are very dangerous, not being discussed or debated, because it's hidden behind, you know, are you for gay children or against them? Mm-hmm. The premise that children should have secret discussions in school. I wrote to a school board last week that's debating one of these policies, and I said, if you accept the premise that schools should keep secrets from parents to protect LGBT children, then you've accepted the premise that schools should keep secrets from parents.
Yep.
So my one message is, don't look at the discussion that people are having. Look underneath it. Look at the premises that are hidden. Look at the premises that aren't being discussed. And I keep writing to newspaper reporters who keep writing stories about, you know, the state is standing up to bigoted parents. And I keep saying, look at these premises you haven't examined. The attorney general of our state is saying that the gravest danger that children face is their parents.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't take him at face value. Maybe you should doubt that premise. And they won't do it, and they won't respond to me, and they keep speaking in the language of misdirection. And the single thing I want to tour the country and beg people to do is notice when you're being misdirected. Notice when somebody is trying to lead you over that way. Mm-hmm. But they tell you, oh, we're going over there. we're not going over there. We're going this other place. Mm-hmm. And they're misleading you. They're trying to get you to look somewhere other than the place where you're going. Notice what premises are hidden and dig into, don't take new stories at face value ever.
Right.
Notice what discussions are being hidden in the framing that you're getting.
Absolutely. And this, you'll notice that I use the phrase same sex attracted versus gay. Why? Because same sex attraction is a feeling. Gay has become a person, an identity. I want young people to have the freedom to change their feelings, to no longer be same sex attracted. Just as I used to have such an attraction to this or that, or I used to feel I would be an NFL football player, I use that quite purposely because I'd like it to sink into society. The left loves to have us use their language. If you use the word transgender, you have helped the left. If you use the word debt ceiling, you've helped the spendthrifts. If you use the word vaccine for the COVID shots, you're helping them continue to hurt people with this modified RNA. Where do we check all this? Well, for me, of course, it's the word of God and the patterns. Are people seeking their fleshly desires, or are they in the fruit of the Spirit? It's a wonderful guide for me. Helps me take action to take things captive to Christ. Tower of Babel is next. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. That's really settling music. All of a sudden, I feel bad for doing a segment that has a little humor attached to it. In fact, I should just relax into that and maybe reverse things. And so I will. I am doing a segment tomorrow, kind of an experiment. And I'm thinking of calling it Speaking Secular. When I first began becoming discipled, I made myself some promises. And please, please take this as one person's taste in language. Please don't take it as a judgment of the way you speak. I'm not in the habit of telling my friends how to speak. And I'd like to be friends with you, though we have not met yet. Most of us have not yet met. Speaking secular is a response to when I became really active in my evangelical Christian church, and really dug into being discipled. And first time in my life, I had a man, I don't even know that Jim is older than me, I think we're about the same age, say to me, I'm discipling you. I'm going to make you a disciple. To come out and say that, that's heavy. It was cool. But I promised myself that I would stay away from some evangelical ease. Such as I never want to say, let's dialogue. How about let's talk? There are just these things that we say, just. I've noticed this in prayer. That a lot of evangelicals in prayer, and I'm not mocking the prayers. For goodness sake, please pray for me. And I miss my prayer group I used to go to on Wednesday night. I need to get back tonight. Maybe get back tonight. That a lot of us, I do it too. Lord, we just ask and we just thank you and I guess it's something about speaking to the Almighty that we include that word, we just, as a justification that we just thank you. Interesting the way that works. Speaking secular is to take modern culture, semi-modern, that has an impact on people and look at it as ways to have teaching opportunities. You know, Frank Turek, who was instrumental in me getting this show, a great Christian apologist, he and his son wrote a book called Hollywood Heroes. And in it, they break down how some movies have great teaching opportunities about the Lord Jesus and about the gospel and about redemption. And some super surprising facts, like J.K. Rowling admits that a good portion of Harry Potter is based upon the Bible, which means there's great hope for her. because she's very conversant about the Bible. I bring this up because we are blessed with opportunities so often to make disciples, to deepen people's faith. God puts us in these situations. I'll let you in on something that my podcast audience knows. I have a ritual, and it's a weekly ritual that some people call a grounding ritual, and it is where I eat an enormous amount of pizza. And when I say that, I mean an entire pizza and a Caesar salad the size of a big man's head. In fact, two big men's heads. I do that once a week, and the rest of the week, I am about as militant about what I eat as anybody ever could be, and try to watch my weight, and been very successful at that, thank God. So once a week, I go nuts on pizza. And as a consequence of this, I have gotten to know some young people who work in my beloved pizza place, because I often go in alone. And I go there having run, say a 5K or sometimes a 10K or swim across the lake, so I can eat calorically whatever I want. So I'm sort of the weird old man that way. I was blessed to have a conversation with a young woman there I've gotten to know. I've not yet met her boyfriend. I'd like to. I think she's an extraordinary young woman. She's hustling. She's setting up side hustles and businesses, and she's fun to talk to. She's third my age, and I keep thinking, gosh, this kid, I was 34 when this kid was born, and now she's serving me pizza. She said to me the other day, in passing, in a conversation, she said, well, if I go to heaven. And I stopped her for a second and said, wait. What do you mean if? And she said, well, I mean, that's what I mean, if. I said, but don't you want to know? She said, yeah, I do. Now, this is a good person. A good person who believes in God, believes in Jesus, and isn't discipled. Is consuming the gospel on a pretty regular basis via video, church she used to attend. She's a good person. I think a classically good person, and her boyfriend sounds like a very good guy. Classically good guy. I said, but don't you want to know? This was such a spirit-led conversation because it just happened that she just dropped this out of the sky, if I go to heaven. And I was gifted with the opportunity to say to her, well, but what are the steps? She goes, well, believe in Jesus. Well, that's a great start. Be baptized. Fantastic. Be baptized in the name of the Father. And she repeated it with me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She repeated it with me, yes, yes. She said, try to live like God wants us to live. Yes, 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 I'm celebrating at the counter. Oh, you forgot one. I forgot one. Repent. Repent. She said, yeah, repent. She goes, I repent. I'm sorry for things I've done, and I try not to do them again. And I said, are you sorrowful? Do you feel sorrow for having disappointed God? And, well, answer that first. She said, yeah, I don't think of it as sorrow. And I said, it's people are at different places. I've grown to think sorrowfully of when I sin. It causes me sorrow because I've hurt a loving Father. It was one other thing about repentance, and that's to cease to do the thing for which you've repented. And she looked at me, and I've known this young woman for about a year, once a week. I don't see her every week, but once a week, we have little talks. She looked at me and she said, you're talking about marriage. I said, I didn't mention it. I didn't say a word. I just asked you about repentance. So we're blessed with these opportunities. So this feature we're going to try out tomorrow, Speaking Secular, was inspired by something that happened in the gym. Happened to be again with a young woman. I don't go out looking for opportunities to evangelize young women because I can't help them. I can't minister to them. That's a woman's role. That's how we view things in our church. Enough of my babbling. I think the Lord, you know, in biblical times, the Lord punished men's pride and rebellion by scrambling our language, you know? And in our era, I think God might be putting the supposed wise on towers of sand so we can see their empty shame.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
This is going to be kind of a best of. It's a best of babbling in a way. This is the White House spokeslayer stumbling through reading from her lie binder.
President Biden tested negative last night for COVID-19 and tested negative again today. He's not experiencing any symptoms. As far as the steps he is taking, since the president was with the First Lady yesterday, he will be masking while indoors and around people in alignment with CDC guidance. And he, as has been the practice in the past, the president will remove his mask when sufficiently distanced from others indoors and while outside as well.
First of all, can we talk about the meta lie, the big picture lie? We were talking about magic words. Well, there's also magic descriptions. I don't mean to be rude. I just want to be accurate. That young woman has her job because she's same-sex attracted and somehow has discovered she's a woman. And she's black. That's why she has her job. Wait. Why would I say that? Because of performance issues. Even people who are Democrats are bemoaning her performance. There must be a gift God's given her. It is not standing in front of people reading binders. That was an entire paragraph presented for just this scenario. And even there, it's a lie. Now we go from the meta lie to the smaller lie, from the big babble to the little babbling. The figurehead Biden just draped a medal around the neck of an elderly veteran. The cohort of people most susceptible to the COVID flu are the aged and the obese. This gentleman was not obese, but he's aged. Neither of them wore masks. But that shouldn't surprise us. Not in the least. Because, as we'll hear here, it was only 4 years ago when, according to Biden's own logic, an unmasked Joe Biden told America he decided to help murder 100,000 people.
If we just wore these masks, the president's own advisors have told him, we could save 100,000 lives. And we're in a circumstance where the president thus far and still has no plan, no comprehensive plan. What I would do is make sure we have everyone encouraged to wear a mask all the time. I would make sure we move in the direction of rapid testing, investing in rapid testing. I would make sure that we set up national standards as to how to open up schools and open up businesses so they can be safe and give them the wherewithal, the financial resources to be able to do that. We're in a situation now where the New England Medical Journal, one of the serious, most serious journals in the whole world, said for the first time ever that the way this president has responded to this crisis has been absolutely tragic. And so, folks, I will take care of this. I will end this. I will make sure we have a plan.
Okay, so he was going to end it and take care of it and have a plan. So let's go to the meta lie that he could end it. You know, once a respiratory virus is in the wild, once it's past 15 or 20 people, you're not going to end it. Once it's past 15 or 20 people in an urban environment, all the contact tracing in the world cannot stop it. It cannot abate it. It cannot slow it down. It's going to progress. Oh, but God has a plan for that. Remember, I was talking about elderly people being very, very, very likely to be vulnerable to these flus. And even then, the average age of death from COVID was 82. The average number of comorbid factors was 6 in people who died. 6. So even decently healthed older people are not all that vulnerable. But even there, the meta lie that he could stop it. the meta or the micro babbling, the tiny babbles. Did you picture that in your mind? That address by the figurehead, which was during one of the presidential debates. What do you think he was wearing? Or rather, not wearing. He was not wearing a mask. He was holding one. He had it in his hand. He wagged it at the TV screen. He wagged it towards his opponent, President Trump. But he didn't put it on his face. So by his logic, he was standing there having made the decision to murder 100,000 people by speaking without a woke mask. In times of universal deceit, telling the truth is an act of bravery. And on the topic of bravery and telling the truth, when I was talking about this interaction I had with this young woman at the pizza parlor, the young woman who said to me, "If I go to heaven, can I confess something to you? I am paid to speak. Here in speeches I give, the podcast I own, I'm paid to speak." And I was nervous. When she brought up and asked and said and suggested, "If I go to heaven," I was nervous. Now, A, I don't have super deep conversations with young women because I'm a married man, and she is, to me, a very smart child. I think that would offend her. She's an adult woman, but you understand what I'm saying age-wise. I don't have super deep conversations. I might ask, "Hey, what's a thing you've learned?" It's a question I love to ask young people. What's a thing you've learned? A thing you learned this week that's brand new to you. I love to keep learning alive. I was nervous because I had been entrusted with something. I'd been entrusted with a question from a person I think is a good person, who's in a relationship with a man I think is a good man, who I observed to be hardworking and diligent and honest and cheerful and friendly, even to weird old men who swim 1,600 meters across the lake so they can eat pizza. I was also nervous that I would punt. But thank God I didn't. The Spirit spoke through me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God values words, and He loves you so much. May God be with you. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.